Welcome to the Brown on Cleveland podcast. It's the race for the 11th Congressional District. You can listen anytime, any place, anywhere. My name is Kimberly F. Brown, and this is simply Brown, 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 simply Brown on Cleveland.
My name is Tariq K. Shabazz. I'm running for the United States House of Representatives for the 11th Congressional District of Ohio. I want everybody to understand something. I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, so I know the struggles that people are truly facing. At a young age, I remember when I was a child and my next door neighbor was murdered in my backyard. And it just stuck on me. I didn't know how I felt, but I just know that something wasn't right about it. As I grew up and into my adolescent years, all I saw was continuous gun violence, lack of economic opportunity, and strained systems, which has been perpetrated through neglect of people who have been our elected officials. At 16 years old, I remember specifically looking down the barrel of a firearm over something that was very insignificant. And to this day, I would not be here if it was not for my uncle stepping in, pleading for my life. And this is a sad reality that many people are facing in this district right now. We saw in Cleveland, Ohio alone, 177 homicides last year. These are truly devastating statistics, but that's the problem. We're only looking at these things as numbers, as opposed to the stories of the people that are really actually being affected. Before I gained my title as a Navy veteran and political scientist, as I stated, I came up through these inner cities. I'm a husband. I met my wife when I got in the United States Navy, and she's been one of the biggest people who helped me on my journey of understanding who I was, who I am to this day. I learned many things while I was in the military. Some of the things specifically that I learned was leadership, and what does leadership really stand for? Leadership is not just someone just standing up and saying that they're in control. Leadership is an individual who recognizes what it's like to follow. Because for you to be the best leader you can be, you must understand for those who are following you. In my short time with the United States Navy, I attained the rank of E5, which is a petty officer in the second class. That is something that was not done very easily. And if anyone understands the rank structure within the military, I did it within 2 years. I graduated top of my class in my apprenticeship school. I was a peer tutor, and I was for it. I received letter of recognition and letter of commendations for my efforts throughout my apprenticeship school. As I embarked deeper into my Navy journey, I spent time out to sea. I spent so much time, countless days away from my family. In fact, I served a total of 1,826 days life to this country. And I'm asking everyone here today to allow me to continue my life of public service and representing the people. I took that oath to heart, to my spirit. And I'm asking everyone, please allow me to continue that oath and serve you as your next United States Congressman for the 11th Congressional District of Ohio.
All right.
So, some of the things that tend to get talked about a lot is regarding my qualifications or people's qualifications. As I stated previously, I'm a political scientist. I acquired my bachelor's in political science, which my concentration was in international relations. In fact, I finished my bachelor's while I was deployed out to sea in 2018 in the Rim of Pacific. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, please check it out. It's when joint countries come together and perform specific missions out to sea. Secondly, I have a master's in public policy with a concentration in national security. I learned how to draft legislation in high school, and I competed throughout the state. And I've been awarded. I've placed in certain positions, certain competitions before. And again, though, my qualification doesn't end there. I learned the deeper inner mechanisms of what actually occurs within the U.S. Congress as I embarked deeper into my graduate level education. My apologies. And that being said, These are some of those tools that I have at my dispense to bring towards the table. It would be the next congressman. As I stated earlier, I have the life experience, I have the education, and I have the military and professional background that is necessary to actually bring true leadership to this district. And that's all I have for now, too. Most important things that everyone should really learn about. All right, this is important. So what does a congressperson actually do? Number one, in the U.S. Congress, you have a bicameral legislator. So bicameral legislator means you have two bodies that governs the legislature. You have the House of Representatives that is based upon the population size of each state, and you have the actual U.S. Senate, which each state is given per state. In the U.S. House of Representatives, sorry, I apologize. There's 435 members of the House. I'm not sure if I said that previously. But the role requires an immense amount of understanding of exactly what we're supposed to do. And I'll explain that very specifically. These bills, the bills and the resolutions that tend to get created or constructed within the federal legislature are much more different than you would see on the state, the county, and the municipal level. Whereas you would see some bills on the lower levels of governance in which where they're not going to equate to 1,000 to 5,000 pages, which we've seen in the past relief bill that was approximately 500 plus pages. So it requires the legislature to work with your staff as well as reaching across the aisle, even at times working with some of these individuals who work with who are lobbyists. So that being said, it's imperative that we build a rapport, not only with these individuals within the federal legislature, but on the state, county, and the municipal level, so we can actually discharge their duties to the greatest ability possible. And I hope that that answers the question specifically, exactly what a U.S. Congress member does. All right.
Wait.
Number four, me within a position of being a U.S. Congressman, I say it very simply. I'm running to be a representative in the people's house. I'm about the people. That's what we're supposed to be about. I'm absolutely dedicated to actually bringing change to the people. The things that I've seen in my life, they're not just something that is a singular event. These things are happening throughout the American inner cities. And that's why I'm fighting and pushing so hard for an agenda that actually recognizes that we have crime that is running rampant, but crime itself is not the underlying condition. Crime is a symptom. We have so many things that are contributing factors to how we are in these situations right now. For instance, the poverty, the education system that doesn't address how to teach people how to thrive as opposed to learning how to just survive. We're also dealing with a prison pipeline that is actually predicated on stalking individuals who are Black in America, who are other minorities. This is something that can no longer go on. And this is why I'm here and I'm fighting. I didn't feel compelled to run for office until I remember I was out to sea and I sat there and I just kept thinking to myself. I said, the conditions haven't changed since I left. I had been gone for almost about three to four years and nothing was being changed. Not down on the local municipal level, the state, county, or within the federal legislature. So it's time for a holistic approach, a completely different approach to changing these things that we know are necessary and it must be addressed from the federal legislature.
Question number five.
I didn't finish that last portion of it. I apologize. Tell us what you have done in the past 5 years. In the past 5 years, I was serving in the U.S. Navy. I have been all over the country. I've been out of the country, out to sea. But when I came back immediately, I continued on the same things that I was doing while I was in the Navy. I organized groups. I was a president of organizations where we created and constructed Adopt a Highway events, where we got people out there and we actually worked out on the streets. We make sure we cleaned them up. We set up clothing drives while I was in the Navy. We did a mixed number of things to make sure we built an actual better rapport between our commands and the local community. And as I got out of the Navy, I came home. That was something I did immediately back again. I worked with group, local organizations that worked with doing wellness checks on some of the people up here. I've listened and talked to so many people who are currently still going through the struggle. I talked to a woman not too long ago that said that individuals were shooting across from her house and the rounds hit the garage. And she showed me where the rounds hit the garage. And it was just a couple feet above where her son laid his head at night. So these are the things that I take very dear and near to my heart. Politics isn't supposed to be personal, but people, I take people very personal. Because we have to actually enact that change. All right. So moving to number five. What legislation have I created in the last year? I have not been in official capacity as a legislator. However, that does not mean that I have not worked with local orgs and groups that are dedicated to actually constructing policy and putting it into the text that is necessary for when I am elected. And these bills will be put in. Some of these bills are going to range from addressing the issues of gun violence. Reparations, which is something that is a highly contested issue. However, I am an individual who supports it completely, and I will work to ensure that that bill is actually put in place. And that's okay. Number six, we need someone who will fight for this district. Okay. Number six, I think, was a very important question that needs to be addressed in terms of bringing a fighter to the district. As we all know, District 11 is one of the most impoverished districts throughout this country, as well as one of the most segregated districts. We cannot have the same status quo continue to go on, where we have legislators say things like, we're not going to have anything fundamentally different. We need radical change. And the reason why I say the term radical is because what we've been getting right now is incremental. We've been getting change in very small pieces, very small pieces. And those small pieces are mostly symbolic. I don't want to bring symbolic gestures to our people. I want to bring tangible policies to our people. I want to make sure we bring home, not just bring home those federal dollars and appropriate it to this district. I want to make sure those dollars actually touch the people. And they don't just go into some local org. They don't just go and touch some gatekeeper politician who's been guided by unethical practices that we've seen in this district very recently. These dollars need to be touching the people's heart right now. People are dying right every day. There are real life consequences to what's going on. I don't think enough people understand that. In Cleveland, we had 177 homicides last year. Every day I see a kid that looks like me that's dying. I am tired of it. And I don't know how many other people are tired of it, but right now, this is why I said our slogan is, this is our moment. We cannot sit back anymore. This is a call to action. This campaign is a call to action. This is not just an ordinary campaign where we're just talking about issues and we're just trying to sound nice and be as politically correct as possible. No, politically correctness haven't done anything for us. Because when we die in the streets every day, nobody says anything about that. I see myself every day in these young people because I'm a young person. I'm only 27 years old. But that does not mean I don't want anyone to ever misconstrue the fact of my age being in any way being utilized as a weakness, because I don't want anyone to think that. I will not allow individuals to manipulate. I come humbly to this district, and I'm asking respectfully requesting to represent you, because you know I will fight for you. You know I'm going to have those tough conversations, and you know one thing for sure is I'm not going to shy away from bringing up topics just because it may actually be controversial. You know what's really controversial? Dying in the street every day, lack of healthcare. All of these disparities, the wealth inequality gap, that's controversial to me. So I'm going to be extremely controversial until we get actual radical change for our people, because incremental change isn't it. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
The major, if any, differences in Winchester policy, what makes you different than others campaigning? What makes me different than other individuals running for this seat is, number one, when you see me, you anticipate. I'm the person who you get. When I walk out of this room, when I walk away from this Zoom and I go talk to another person, I am the same individual. And I'm going to continuously keep fighting for these things that we know needs to be done. Unfortunately, for many of my colleagues that are running in this race, many of them have been in public service for as long as I've probably been a child, before I even had a comprehensive understanding of who I was. And you know what? That ain't going to cut it anymore. Those things are not going to cut it anymore. Like I said, we're not going to go softball. We need to be in the Congress. We need to be on every level of our government fighting for our people. As I stated, we have the resources. It is obvious we have the resources. We see the level of corruption, and this corruption isn't just on the state level. It's not just on a municipal level. This is far throughout the entire country. And I want to bring something a little bit different. I want to make sure we address the Citizens United decision that allowed businesses to hold the same First Amendment rights as people and to completely destroy the political process. There is far too much money in politics. This is why you hear sometimes when you see a person like me who comes up who actually understands the political process, the first thing someone says to you is this: well, how much money did you raise? Because that's what it's all about to people. It's just the resources. But we got to start looking at things from a different approach if we want to actually see some change, because right now we have what is considered constraints. In terms of continuous process improvement, we need to remove these constraints. And unfortunately, many of the constraints are the gatekeepers, which is some of these elected officials. And again, me as the top of this ticket, this district, I will continuously address the issues of corruption that is going on in our district, because accountability is key for us to have progress. Thank you. Number 8. Do any of you support postal workers? 100% I support postal workers. This one I'm going to be a little quick with. Specifically, we need to address the fact that under the tutelage of the former administration of Donald J. Trump, he absolutely worked to destroy our postal service. Absolutely. And so many things that needs to be addressed. Independent investigations of exactly why we removed some of these things within our organizational structure within the Postal Service that led to so many individuals receiving mail-in ballots potentially late, where we also were dealing with people who couldn't receive some of their items. And we know that was the whole process of what he was doing was for self-gain. So we need to really address these issues. And I want to be abundantly clear about that. We need to truly address these issues. I'm going to work with any local orgs, any groups that are specifically dedicated to improve the actual current status of our U.S. postal workers, because that's what this whole campaign is about equity. We need to make sure that we're bringing balance and bringing accountability and equity to this country again. That's what time it is. That is what time it is right now. So, number 9. Currently, the state of Ohio has no system in place. All right. Now, specifically in relation to this question on number 9, because I will be working on a federal level, it is slightly different because the states have some rights that is reserved to them. However, you will still see overarching laws that actually provides guidance to the states of how to actually implement policies, how they conduct their mandated training. I looked into the H.R. 1280, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act of 2021. It was just recently reintroduced into the U.S. Congress within this 117th General Assembly. But it was introduced in the last General Assembly, in the 116th, addressing what we saw occur to Mr. George Floyd. It was the most egregious act I probably could ever see. And I've seen many bad things before. To see for over 8+ minutes of what that officer did, as well as all the other officers stand by and not do anything. This is just everyday in America. This is what people are really facing. This is what creates distrust in our system. How can I trust that the system is working when a police officer can kill me and almost face no justice? So I do believe that we need to go deeper into this, into that policy. I would love to see that as I am elected, if this policy has not been brought out of this individual's committees, I will work as much as I can to ensure that we see passage, or to make some amendments that would actually drastically or vastly improve said policy. And specifically, one portion of that policy that I think was very important was the use of data reporting, because we need to actually address exactly how these states are reporting when you have acts of escalated violence from our police officers. These things need to be addressed, and it needs to be actually accounted for, and it needs to be public so all the people can actually see it. So this is something I take real pride in, because I've seen nothing but I've seen nothing but police brutality since I was a child. I remember watching a police officer literally beating someone right in front of my yard. And I looked out the window, and all the officer did was they looked at me and they did nothing. They just went back to what they were doing. And how is it that a child is supposed to internalize that? I don't know much about how I even know anything about stealth, but the first thing I'm seeing is that the people who are supposed to protect me are actually beating people who look like me. So this is why, as I stated, we have to change it up now. We need radical change now. And some people don't like that term, but let's look at what incremental change has been doing. Look out your windows. Anybody who's watching this, look out your windows and tell me, do you see the change that is positive, that is actually going to improve the lives of yourself and your family? All right.
Thank you.
Number 10. There have been many. So number 10 is this is a question that is, that's a really tough question. And in no way, shape, or form, I'm going to avoid answering this question. It's such a difficult question, because as we were just talking about in terms of police conduct. I remember I got out of boot camp November 21st, 2014. And for all those who don't know, November 22nd, 2014 was when Timothy Loman killed Tamir Rice. Timothy Loman stole Tamir Rice's life. He stole that young man's ability to grow and become an adult, to grow and become potentially what I could be. How many people do we have to continuously lose to police misconduct? And we see nothing being done about it. How many people do we have to see these things happen to before we actually recognize that this is not okay? I don't understand how we can be in this predicament in which we're still debating about. Every time we hear these conversations, I can't believe this. This is 2021. This is 20, whatever the case may be. We have to address these things head on right now. We can't keep letting these things fester and go on into a point where it creates some large civil unrest. If America wants to see the change, it has to be the change. And right now, America, we're not being the change. This is not the country I serve. This is not the country I serve, because the country I serve is supposed to be the country that's about the land of the free and the home of the brave. I don't see anything free or impartial about what happened and what's continuously happening throughout this country. And what will I do about bringing attention to teen and gun violence? So, again, in reference to not only just the life experience, but currently right now, still going around talking to these young people, talking to the mothers, the fathers, trying to address what is actually currently going on. Right now, we are currently observing the effects of what happens when people don't see value. How can you expect a young person to see value if they constantly see themselves as being nothing? As I stated, police misconduct creates distrust. If the police don't value me, how can I value myself? How can I value that young man over there? I don't see the value. How many times have people who are listening to this or potentially listening to this heard phrases like this? Where are you from? And someone's ready to kill you over something as insignificant as the land that they actually reside in. But none of us own any of that land. See, that's why we need to actually really be getting into the hearts of these young kids. They need to know that they are loved. They need to know that we are not just going to tell them that they're loved symbolic. We need to actually be impacting them. I'm a firm believer that an ounce of prevention will truly beat a pound of a cure. I worked in maintenance. So preventative maintenance was something that was extremely important for us because we can't allow these things to keep permeating over time where we get to a point where we can't even address these issues anymore. Right now you have politicians who only talk about voter suppression. I mean, I don't want to say not just voter suppression. They only talk about voter apathy, but then don't address the underlying conditions of why people have voter apathy. You have constantly people that don't see value, lack of opportunity, and I don't mean that it's actually lack of economic opportunity in their area. It's lack of investment for them until they can't afford their land anymore. And now all the economic development is there. That is absolutely horrendous. And our people are being fleeced out of their land, and they're being treated like they're not even American citizens. And I'm gonna continue on as what I've been doing throughout my time and working with the people, whether it's performing those wellness checks, whether it's getting out there and getting the groceries out to people who can't move around, whatever we have to do, talking to these young people and just getting them to understand, you actually absolutely matter, and you have value. And that's all for question 10. All right, so going into question 11, please give it to, okay. So again, to everybody who's listening, I'm Tariq K. Shabazz. I have the life experience, the education, in a military and professional background. I have led multiple organizations, I have led people, and I have managed assets equating to millions of dollars. I understand the value of work. I understand the value of actually working for the people, for the people. This is what it's about. I'm running for the People's House, for the United States House of Representatives. And the only thing that I am guided by is the people. The only thing that I am dedicated by is bringing policy, tangible policies to the people. I'm not guided by, in any way, shape, or form, the dollars that may come with it. When I was still in the Navy, I was on track to become an officer. I had already had my degree. And I decided that it would be more important to come home and actually get back to where I started, my stomping grounds, and bringing real impactful change to the people. We're going to write the bills that are necessary. We're going to get in those rooms and fight for you while others aren't going to fight for you. We have an agenda that is dedicated to bringing impactful change to our people. And I want everyone to remember this right now. This is our moment. Thank you.